So looking at the next song, which was, I think was our first single from the record, was Strain. Was that our first song that was out for
the
CD?
I think it was
the
second. I think Loser was the first.
Yeah, it was the second.
Oh, was it? This song was very much influenced by Nirvana. I very much wanted this song to be like a very hard-hitting, fun, like, not even fun, just like super dark song that was loud and like in your face. And this song was about me going through a lot of relationship hardships, and about that feeling of being so lonely, like that feeling when you're like laying in your room at night and like all the lights are off and you can't sleep, you're just staring up into the darkness and you're like, fuck my life. That's what it was about. This is one of my favorites. This is the song that I was super into. That's why I wanted to open with it when we played live so much, because I was like, this song's so fucking fun.
Yeah, it was fun to play live.
I don't know. Okay, I guess we can switch it up. Evan, what do you think about Strain?
To me, this song has the most aesthetic of any song on the record. At least when I hear it, there's more of a visual aspect than there is a sonic aspect in my head. Like, it's, I think definitely we probably should have done a music video to this one, because it just sounds creepy. Like, it sounds, sounds like there's more of a story involved with the instrumentals and the melodies than all the rest of the tracks.
Yeah.
I wanted to do, I mean, we all did. We all had ideas. I had ideas too for fucking music videos for songs, but then we got fucked by management and they didn't want to do any of the songs that I wanted. Wrote a bunch of music videos. Those didn't happen.
But yeah, this one's a fun one to bump.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with what you said. It definitely paints a picture.
I just like that opening riff. Like, I can just imagine Kurt Cobain opening with that. Dave Grohl's like hitting it so hard from behind, his stick breaks in half. Next up was Sauerkraut. And this song has like, I think this song, out of all the songs on the record, I think that this song has one of the most quote unquote Mike Sapone feels to it. It sounds like a Taking Back Sunday song, which I love. The chorus sounds like it could be from a Taking Back Sunday song, which is how I wanted it to sound. So like, it's just that real, like, whenever I listen to a band like that, you get like this feeling in your chest of almost like nostalgia and like kind of like hope, but there's sadness behind the words. And that's like what I get when I listen to that song. And that's what I wanted. It's about, there was a fan who contacted me while I was a teacher, because I taught in a different district over from where they went to school. I didn't know who this person was, and they lived maybe 40 minutes from me. And there was an incident where one of their friends who they were walking to school with was skating like next to them, and then they fell off their skateboard and they fell into the street. And when that happened, a school bus had, I don't know exactly, I think it might have run a stop sign because it was on the news, and it ran them over and they died. And this person reached out about how much pain they were in, and I was able to meet with them and show it and talk to them, and it really moved my heart, and I felt so much sadness for them. And that's where the song came from, was from that real life story, I guess, because I felt like it was something I wanted to write about, because it was such a devastating scenario.
Yeah, that really is awful.
Evan, what do you think of sauerkraut? Do you like it on your tacos?
I'm not a fan of the food, but I like the song. I think, I like the old school vibe to it. It has, like a pop punk melody to it. It's very catchy. This one and Yarn, I think, are the two most, like, marketable songs on the record. And that's why I like it. It got a good reaction live, and it has a lot of
It was so fun to play live.
Yeah, you could tell people enjoyed it live, and there's a lot of layering to it. It's just it's like it's a dumb song, but it's a smart song at the same time. It's dumb with how like simple it is, but it's smart because for the same reason, you know.
Yeah.
My name Nikki. I'm dumb dumb.
Well, you know what I mean.
Wesley, you got anything?
Being dumb is good sometimes. A lot of times in music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just like how straightforward it is, and I like the verses a lot. Like what's going on with the instruments, and of course the chorus. And it was fun to play live. Yeah, it's a good one.
Next up is Scotland, and I really, really like this song. I wanted to do something weird with the intro of this song with my voice, so that's like with the King of Scotland, Save Me. I wanted to drag out the Save Me because I like the way that it sounded. It was really unusual for me to do. It was something outside of my comfort zone, so I wanted to see how it sounded. I think that this is one of my favorites from the record because of how sad it is. I think the break on this record might be the best break on the record. I wrote this song about someone I knew told me a story about a husband and wife who had gone through a horrible turmoil. They had lost their child, and they walked in to the like where the child was sleeping in the crib or whatever in like the morning, because they just put it to sleep and it was it had passed away. And I thought that that was such a like devastatingly scary thing to see and to have happen to you. So I wrote it about that, and there's a lot of metaphors in there about that. So I think that this is one where I did a lot of writing in a poetic sense more than I did a narrative sense. And I did that a lot on Yarn because I wanted to have poetry that was dark and sad compared to me just talking about my life.
Yeah, this one is pretty dark. I like the intro a lot, like the vocals, just how the song starts. And yeah, like you said, the break is really cool. It's really good.
This is probably my favorite McCafferty song ever, honestly. It's just like everything. Boy, you know that. I thought I told you that before. You like gasped. Cause it's like everything like that I look for in a song. Like, I'd be a fan of this song if I wasn't in the band, you know? Like, it's like when you hear a song and you can connect to it so well on a personal level that you, like, get goosebumps when you listen to a song. And I get that when I listen to this song because it's... and, like, actually instrumentally, it's, like, super complex. Like, I was... Like, we were kind of, like, lost when we were recording it in the studio, I remember. Mike's like, so wait, like, what's the root note? Like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't fucking know. Like, there was a lot going on in the song. It was kind of confusing.
Yeah.
But it, like, worked out, you know?
But that's all you, dude. You added so many amazing extras. Anything, for the listener, anything that you hear on the record that is, like, very ambient, beautifully, and, like, big, that's Evan. You do all that. Like, your talent is insane on this song, dude. Like when you come in, when it drops, it's so cool, dude. It's such a unique riff.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I think for the same way you wanted it to feel different lyrically, I think we like had discussed a lot of like influences from like We Were Promised Jetpacks and stuff. Like I remember we were saying we wanted a shit ton of a shit ton of like delay and like shimmer reverb and a lot of like very dreamlike effects.
That's perfect. That's what it sounds like. It sounds very dreamy.
Yeah, it's very dreamy. Surreal. It's very like lucid, like very
Yeah, like the song visually makes me think of like I guess like a thunderstorm happening in like a big open field, and there's like maybe a castle, like, but that's probably because this song is called Scott.
There's like a lion.
That's the music video. It's Wes. And like an army just comes out of the woods and starts fucking running towards him.
He's on LSD. In the middle of an army, they both charge on Braveheart. It's just Wes in the middle of battlefield.
It's all slow motion.
Stop. But yeah, I love that one. The next one. Sorry. Chris, what were you going to say?
If I could take back one thing, it would be joining this stupid fucking band.
Yeah, sure, man. Looking at the next one, Mary Z, which was Mary Zoloft, but for some reason, I don't know how it got Mary Z. I don't know how that happened. But it got changed to that. But what happened with this song was really funny, because this is the song I think that is like the most like Blink-182-esque, like Hopeless Records sounding song. Like, I love your riff on this, Evan. And this song was totally different. And I remember doing it with Mike, and we were like, weren't feeling it. Like, it had different lyrics, it had a different melody. Like, it was totally different. And with like the same chords. And then that night, I remember I was like, I'm going to rewrite the whole thing, and I'm going to rewrite all the lyrics. So I just sat down in barbershop and I rewrote the whole song's melody and everything. And then it just really was cool. Like, I love it. And I don't know. I just like the song. I like the break in it. I like the ending, how it gets like super dark. It's just really fun. Cause my big thing was, I was like, oh, I'm fucking depressed and it has to be dark, so if I write this fun song, it has to have this dark ending. And I do like that, though. But I think that the intro to it is really, really good, and it's really fun.
Yeah, I love the fade-in that Mike did.
Yeah. It's I know, isn't it? It's so funny.
Yeah,
it's
no
like
one
I'm
does
like
a fade-in or a fade-out anymore. So you never like hear it.
You get in your car, McCafferty's in the tape player, you hit play, and it like has that fade in.
Yeah, it just makes it hard, and the guitar is, it's got that catchy melody. And yeah, this song did go through the most modifications or changes or whatever. And I did like the original version that we had, but I also like this version too.
And then this song, I rewrote the whole thing, and this song is actually totally about the first half. It was just about how I felt about my life, and you know, about how there come a point in my life where like tons of shit had gone wrong, and I was super sad, and but there were a lot of things going right too at the same time, looking back. That's pretty much it for that. What's after that? What's after? Do you have anything to say about it, Evan? Sorry.
I mean, I was just gonna say what Wes was saying, like with how simple it is, like instrumentally. Sometimes, like the more complicated the riff, the more you pigeonhole yourself into melodies and stuff. But with like such a simple 3-chord backdrop, like, you were able to like come up with a whole new feel for the song, you know, like it could have gone in a million different directions, but what you were feeling at that particular moment in time, like, did it the most justice, because it is a simple song.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the end of it. Like the end. It's really cool.
Your drums are really good on this one.
Thanks.
The next one is Windmill, and this was the first, I think this was the first song that I ended up keeping for Yarn, because I remember when we did, do you remember, Evan, when we did Think Sorry Sure, when we were recording Trailer Trash, I showed you the riff for Windmill that I had written.
Yeah.
It was before the song was done. I just like figured out that intro riff, and I was like, and Evan thought it was, you thought it was sick, so we were like, let's keep it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we started playing this one live, like, really early on.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that was, like, I think that was technically the first song that was, like, officially going to be on the record.
I think I really like this song. I thought that this song was really unique in the sense that it was a song written about people struggling with coming to terms with who they are as people. You know, I want to know what it's like to not be me, to be truly yourself, to not live your life in a way where you have questions about what you're going to do with your life. Like, looking back, if you, at the end of your life, do you want to say, I wish I would have done this, I wish I would have done this, or do you want to know what it's like to do those things? And the struggles and, you know, trials and tribulations that come with that. So I really, and I like that break, and I like how I like everything about it. I remember we did some shit on the demo that was a little different than it ended up being at Barbershop. I remember we had some like ooze and like melody stuff that didn't make it in, because I sometimes get too congested. I want to put like tons of shit where it doesn't need it.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I like how the song has like a, to me, like a gritty quality to it, like a gritty rawness to it, mm-hmm. I guess. And it's just, you know, pretty intense the whole time, and it's pretty intense to play live. Usually beat me up pretty good.
Yeah, dude, it hurt.
I like that it's abnormal for a McCafferty song in the way that there's so many syllables. I don't know, it sounds weird, but it almost reminds me of something like a hip hop song, because it's like da 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 da, and like all the instruments are doing it, and it just matches the intensity.
They call me Little Nick.
I remember when you when you showed that to me for the first time, I remember thinking that it was something you don't usually find in like emo pop punk music.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on, It's which is one of the songs that we kept from the demo.
This is arguably the most dramatic song on the record.
I would say that this is the darkest McCafferty song ever written.
Yeah, that's what I should have said.
Yeah, for sure. I know what you meant. This is the darkest song I've ever written. I wrote this song right at the end of my last relationship, and it's about a lot of personal things that were very hurtful to me and, you know, to everyone involved. And I think To Wigmo is the best song I've ever written, and I'll say that when we get there, but I think this song might have some of the best lyrics. I like the line that says, while the angels sing and the devil danced in the bloody rain, where the turtle asked, is it finally safe for me to come out? I think that is one of my favorite lines I've ever written.
Yeah. Yeah. It's dark. It's definitely very serious.
If it was a movie, it'd be rated PG-13.
Okay.
Chris, thoughts on it?
It's maybe a halfway decent song.
It's a me, Mario. Looking at the next one, West Bureau Sadness. This is probably in my top favorite songs that we've ever done ever. Like, just for the way the sound is for this song, I think that this is like one of the best punk songs that we could have possibly written. I love this song. Our friend Corinne, she does like professional singing, like she does opera, and she let us use her voice for this song, because I had the idea that I wanted an opera song that got really heavy punky, and her voice is amazing. It's such a beautiful opening to the song, and then I think that it just sets the precedent. And I think that the lyrics on this song's about this song's about a lot of different shit. So this song is about there's references to the Steubenville rapes that happened in Ohio. That's where that line "football players always get away with rape" came in. And then I think that going along with that, I wanted to have that line that kind of talks about whenever there's something that happens in our society, everybody fucking thinks they know what's best and they fucking think they know what they're talking about. But in reality, we're all fucking idiots, me included. I'm a fucking idiot. And that's why it says don't post shit online like you know what the fuck you're talking about. Because, like, I think the internet is the most cancerous thing that has come out of humanity in recent times, because it is so easy for anybody to say anything they want without knowing anything or putting any sort of knowledge to it. People are stupid, dude, unfortunately to say. Not everyone is smart. And people say stupid shit online because they don't know what they're talking about. So don't post it, dude. When we were playing a show, because we had this song written, and then there's a reference in the song from a Derek Comedy video that Derek Comedy it has who's the dude? It has the guy who's does Donald Glover, I think, was in that comedy troupe. There's a video that has the lines though, like "cool, all right," that's about child abuse. So I wanted to throw that in there too, because it was a song that was about lots of things that were wrong in society that kind of go overlooked. When I thought of the name for the song, it was named something different. And then we were at a show. I don't remember. Do you remember the ones venue we played where it was like, I don't remember, I can't even tell you the cities we were in, fuck my life. It was like a bar that had like an upstairs, it was pretty big, it had two levels, and there was like a bar upstairs on the second floor, but you could also go outside on the second floor as well. Do you know what I'm talking about? And there was like kind of like a patio outside, but it was big. It was like I don't know, there was a bar out there.
Wait,
too,
what was this? Is this Chameleon Club in Lancaster? Lancaster?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember.
It's not the 930 Club, is it?
I don't know. But like,
I can't remember.
After the show, after we played, when the headliner was on, we...
No, it was. I remember. It was Chameleon.
Was it?
Yep.
Okay.
I remember the kid. Yeah. Anyway, go on.
Sorry. Dude, you want to fucking fight me? But I remember after the show, we were doing whatever. I was baked, of course. Then I go upstairs, and I don't normally drink, but there were like people who were like buying drinks and stuff. So I drank a little bit, and I remember I was pretty messed up. And there I was talking to this kid. I can't remember his name, but he was awesome. He was so cool. And we were talking about this song, and I was talking about how I have a song that like has the feel of like it makes you feel kind of like gross, like the Westboro Baptist Church, and like how, you know, how vile and evil that church is and all the horrible things they've done. And he was like, you should name it like Westboro Sadness. And I was like, holy shit, dude, I'm gonna like name the song that. We like laughed about it. And then like, I don't remember anything else besides that. I just made the song that because he said it, which was cool because it was really fun to have that as a memory for like how songs are shaped. Like, it's cool to meet people and like have those little stories about it. I really liked it.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's cool how the title came about like that.
What do you guys think about the song?
This one's intense. I don't really think we played it live very much, right?
We sound checked it a couple times.
Yeah.
We didn't play it live.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just intense and just straightforward, like, energy and... Oh, shit.
What the fuck was that?
That was the wind.
I like how this song kind of embodies everything, like, music is supposed to accomplish before it got super, like... Before it got, like, super, like, marketed, you know? It's punk, man. You know, like, it's like talking about something uncomfortable.
It's pretty raw song.
It's kind of like, fuck you. You wouldn't be able to get away with it if you weren't on like, an indie label.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But, yeah, it has probably one of my favorite messages on the record.
I think that's a good point because, like, this is the song, too, that has the references about kind of references trees about bullying. And if you want dramatic, I'll give you dramatic. In high school, I hid in the closet, died in the attic. And when the bullies all found me, they called me a maggot. That doesn't sound right. But there were, you know, when you're on a label, there's certain things you can say and can't say. And I couldn't say certain things that I had to change a couple lyrics on the CD because this was my plan was I wanted to have a super dark CD and then I wanted to come back with a lighter CD that's different. So I wanted this one to stand out as the super dark CD. But there were just some things I couldn't say. And you got to respect everybody's decision because people, you have to look at things through everybody's perspective, not just your own.
Right.
But moving on to that, like I am grateful that I was able to say a lot of the things that I was able to say. And I want to thank Triple Crown and Fred for that because like, I don't think I could get away with what I said a lot on these on a different label, especially looking at the next song, probably this song I wrote because there was like a bunch of shit. Like everyone, there were tons of things coming out about people being fucking creepy and like fucking pedophiles and shit. So I wanted to like kind of write a super uncomfortable song that referenced that in the intro. I think that that line is super heavy hitting, and I think that it's super I think it was a really powerful line and song, and I think it was kind of a more real topic that a lot of people wouldn't dare go near because it's kind of super off the table as like if you kind of write about there's a big stigma about things even on an indie label or even if when you do shitty ass DIY music like us, like there are certain topics that are off the table, but I'm not an off the table kind of person. I like to push the envelope about what I can talk about, so that's why I wrote this song, because I wanted it to be kind of one that people talked about. I also thought that it would have been a great music video because I think that this is the song that Evan has like the super cool pop. It's like kind of sounds like pop riff and like,
yeah,
how I put it. And like, it's just such a like badass riff, dude. And like I wanted to make like, just like those chugging power chords that like kind of sound like a cross between like My Chemical Romance and like Nirvana. And like, I really, really like this song for the reason that like I think that it has such a powerful opening, and then you kind of get when you get to that middle section, because we added like there's like those bells on the what is that section called, you know what I'm talking about with the bells,
that would have been like a bridge, I guess.
Yeah,
I really like that part because I don't know. I just like the lyrics there too. I think they're super dark. I think there's a lot of talk about death on Yarn and dying because I also wanted to die really badly at that point in my life. And I think that that's why Yarn is such a cool album, is because it has a mixture of me talking about, I've seen some comments online that are pretty accurate of their like, this album is so different than Beach Boy because it sounds like Nick is rambling a lot on this album. And I think that people are correct, because I had gone 4 years of before the last album where I had a lot of shit that I had seen in the world that I wanted to talk about, and a lot of sadness and anger that I didn't know how to express. And it came out through music, and it almost came out like I feel like I could have written like a 30 track album for Yarn for what I was going through at the time. And it all would have been dark. There were a couple songs that didn't even make it on it. We had more songs that we practiced for it.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think that that's why I think it's such a good CD, is because it has that mixture of like real world shit that you see and that you hear about and that people go through, and personal turmoil. And I think that people can relate to that, especially as they get older. I think that a lot of people who are into Beach Boy are around like that college age that kind of get into it. And that's like the fun CD for college, because that's like the spirit we wrote it in. We were in college and it was fun. And I think that Yarn is kind of that afterwards, as an adult, seeing things in the world, realizing how you are as an adult and who you want to be as when, you know, even when you're a parent. Like, I think about having kids, you know, I want to have kids so badly. And like, I think about when my kids grow up in this world, like the things that are scary about it. And I think that that comes across in Yarn. Looking at the last song, which we'll move into here in a second, for Tawigma, I think that that really sticks out there. But is there anything you guys want to say about Frawley?
Yeah, it's just, I like this one a lot, and it's just very, I guess very punk. Pretty raw, just a lot of energy, and fun to play live. I can't really remember if we played it live much, though. Did we?
Yeah.
Didn't we?
Did we play it live?
I definitely know we played it live before. Maybe where we were just, but like I remember playing it.
Yeah, it's just a good one. I mean, you pretty much put it best, Nick, but yeah, what about you, Evan?
To me, along with the last one, West Bureau, I think it takes a little bit more political stance, which is abnormal for McCafferty as well. You don't really get that on any other release. And yeah, I like the guitar melody. That's probably my favorite melody I've done for any release too.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, dude, it's so sick. And I feel like that song, because it's towards the end of the record, I feel like that song doesn't get enough credit for like people realizing how sick that riff is. It's so dope.
Well, I think it's nice that there's two heavy hitters before the closer, because it keeps you pretty invested. A lot of times records will trail off with the more softer material coming towards the end, but this one is very well organized.
Gets pretty intense towards right. the end.
Yeah, it's kind of like a last hill of a roller coaster before you coast into the exit.
Yeah, I think that I remember talking about that when we were recording it, Evan, like how like you would always say that like the album has two very different feels. Like you start the album, and then I think about halfway through, it gets very dark. The album kind of takes this turn until the end of just like unrelenting, like just, I guess, sadness. And that's what I wanted for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get a little like taste of it early on, but not enough where it's overwhelming. You still have like the poppy aspects. Then towards the end is really when you're like exasperated, and when it like really like when you're like emotionally drained is kind of where it hits you the most in those tracks at the end. You're like, oh fuck, right. Oh fuck.
Oh, sorry, Wes.
Oh no, you're good. Yeah, I mean, I'm. I guess that's it for that one. Should we move on?
Yeah, to the last song. I think that this is my favorite song I've ever written. I think that this is the best McCafferty song ever written. And I think that, I mean, I am so proud of this CD. I would argue to say that this song specifically, out of everything that I've seen come out this year, I think that Tawigma is the best song out of the scene for 2018. That's my personal take, because I think that this song is so real. And I think that I love that we did it live. And then I love the game. I think it's a game changer for the band when this song drops. I think when this song drops, that it is such a big sound, and it is such a beautiful sound that it is like, it's shocking to me. Like, I remember listening to it and just getting goosebumps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was kind of all done in the studio. Like, the end was pretty much improvised, right? It was kind of like we were just messing around.
Yeah,
that's kind of how it came about. And like with this one, and it's like the guitar and vocals were actually done here in the barn, and then, you know, we added stuff in the studio or whatever. But yeah, and this one wasn't done to a click track. It was just live, which made it kind of tricky.
Like, yeah, when trying you had to do drums.
Yeah, trying to like play to just like that, not like a steady tempo, but it was fun though.
Yeah, and it's got double track drums on it, which is super weird for a rock song.
Yeah, it actually technically does. Yeah, I remember kind of just Mike and I, like, Mike was kind of just, I was kind of just listening to what he wanted me to try and do. And
yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I just thought, I think that it, for my personal reason for the song is because that I am a person who has taken a lot of time to try to work on myself and try to better myself. And I think that this song is so honest for me. It's sometimes I can barely listen to it because it hits so close to my heart. And I think that that's something I'm proud of, is that I was able to bear my soul on this track for people to either love or hate, or just I'm at everybody's mercy on this track as a person, and acknowledging who I am as a person, and acknowledging that I have bad qualities as a person, as we all do, but I actively want to be a better person. And I think that I've always had an irrational fear of my dad dying. And I think that that's why I sing a lot about my dad and a lot about just family in general. Like, I had a lot of issues. I mean, everybody does growing up with their family. You have a lot of stuff that sticks with you. And that's what I really did with this track. And I'm very, very proud of it. I think that I remember Mike being like, this song could be an opener. And I was like, yeah, definitely it could. But like, I want it to be the last song, because I like the way that the song ended with just the voice without that final strum. And I thought that that was really cool. And I wanted it to be, out of all the songs on the CD, this is the most narrative driven song, I think, besides Itza. And I think that it's a song that captures your attention with every lyric. So by the time you get to the end and you're really invested and you're following along with me with the story, you're kind of just left there thinking, because it's in silence. And that's what I wanted, because a lot of the times that's how my brain works, is that I overthink things. And when I'm thinking and thinking and thinking, I just sometimes just afterwards you just stare and it's just the silence. And I wanted to capture that.
Yeah, I think the end was executed really well. I love how it just gets quiet and it's just you. And then, like, yeah, it just like ends with silence. And I like that a lot.
Evan, anything else?
Yeah, I think this is probably the most emotionally impactful song aside from Scotland on the record. It just has a different feel. Yeah. It's kind of like otherworldly to me. Like, when you like it, yeah, it has a it factor, you know, that can't really be defined through like music theory or like melodies, you know. It's just kind of like, you know, it's what it's all about, man.
Get her done. I think though that I just want to say that looking now, thinking about this album, the process, writing it with you guys, recording it, I'm really proud of this album and I'm really proud of you guys. And I know that I'm far away, but I really miss you guys, and I really love playing music with you guys. I think that when we get together, we do have something special, and we're able to create something special together. And we have that it factor for just making something unique. And that's so cool, because all I ever wanted to do was make music that was good with my friends. And like, I just want to thank you guys for everything you did on the record. And thank you for sticking with me during all those hard times, because I really do appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Thank you, man.
Shut the fuck up, dude. Just shut the fuck up. All
right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we miss you too, and I'm definitely really grateful for the experiences that we got to have, and yeah, you've definitely come a long way in terms of writing songs, and you've written a lot of songs over the years, yeah, it's just a really unique, special thing, and yeah, I'm really grateful that we all had something special. And I guess we should mention, you know, just how the record was released through Triple Crown Records, and that was a really cool opportunity.
Yeah, we want to say thank you to Fred, the owner of Triple Crown, for making that happen and for giving us that opportunity. And if you guys haven't picked up the record on vinyl, I think you still can through Triple Crown.
Yeah.
And just give them some streams too. If you haven't listened to the album yet, and if you made it this far into the fucking to listen about the album, I hope that you check it out, and I hope that you like it, because it was definitely such a special thing for us to make. And Fred deserves the support for the record. Even if you fucking hate us, you know, Fred deserves it, because he's such a good guy.
Yeah, he's a really great guy.
He's a smart guy, too.
Yeah.
He's a very smart man.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm glad that we got to sit down and talk about the record and reflect on it. And anyone that's listened to this whole thing, I'm glad that they were given some more perspective on the record.
Yeah, I don't think I've tried as hard as like I did on this record for like anything in my life, or gave it this much attention. No,
for
like,
sure,
honestly,
dude.
Like I don't have the attention span to like try at much of anything, but like when it came to making this album, like I was like laser focused, and like, cause it was like a lot,
yeah.
It was a lot of money being put into it, and it was a lot of resources and a lot of time. And it was kind of like the time to do it. And, yeah. And it's something super proud of.
Oh gosh.
I agree,
yeah.
Evan, completely. It was such an amazing experience, and if we ever do another album, which we probably will eventually, it definitely will be a different experience than this, and that's why it's great. Is that no experience in my life will ever be like this. And it's awesome that I got to share it with you guys. It's an adventure, and I don't know. I'm proud of it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Me three.
All right, Chris, are you proud?
I am not the slightest bit proud.
Cool. So what are you guys up to for the rest of your, I don't know. I don't even know when I'm going to be back in Ohio. I'll make the trip up when the time's right.
Yeah.
We'll do some music stuff or something next time I'm up there. But like, what have you guys been up to? What's the plan? I kind of like the McCast. That's our old podcast. If you happen to listen to this, well, what are you going to be doing, Wesley?
Lately I've just been doing music stuff, you know, trying to do recording stuff, and I'm just working part time and playing drums and whatnot. So, I mean, I've been good.
I'm having a kid here in about a month. We're going to have a baby girl, me and my girlfriend, Tessa. So I'm super excited.
I just want to say congratulations, Evan.
Thanks,
put
man.
Some like put like a bomb going off or
something. Yeah, but I'm
no, wait, you should cut it back. I'm sorry, Evan, what were you saying?
Oh, I mean, I'm just going to say I'm super excited to have a new experience. Feels like I was kind of spinning my wheels for a while there, but it's going to be neat to, like, you know, be experiencing something for the first time, and you mm-hmm. know, be raising a little girl. A little girly.
Congratulations,
yeah.
Man, that's amazing.
Thanks.
And her name's Mr. Hardcop Jr.
That'd be creepy.
I am gonna be just I'm in school right now, and I am gonna be playing Black Ops 4. It's double XP, dude. What do you think?
Oh,
this
yeah.
fucking is
Fuck, man. I forgot I'm missing out on that for this.
I know, it's a shame. I should have been playing the whole time. I'm just kidding. I have. Yeah, except I have Xbox now, Wes. You have PS4, dude. No.
Yeah.
But I guess until next time, the next time we inevitably do something together. Also, we just want to say thank you to everybody who has listened and continues to listen to the band, despite the band not being a full-time band anymore. It means so much that you guys listen every day, and you really have changed our lives. My life's been changed forever by this, whether I wanted to admit it or not, that this is something special and it's something bigger than us, and it's thanks to you guys. So if you've listened to the band and you've come to a show and if you've gotten merch, anything like that, we owe you. So we want to say thank you for everything. And Evan's banking account number, I think, is 4100325. The last part of it. What's the routing?
Not even close.
I guess signing off, but let's get one last word from Chris. Oh, again, I want to thank Triple Crown, and I want to thank all of you guys, and I want to just say thank you for the experience to make this record, to Mike Sapone and Brett and Barbershop, and just I can't even put it into words. It's just so awesome. Oh, weren't we there on my birthday too last year? That was crazy.
Yeah.
But Chris, you have any final last words you want to say to everybody? Just words to live by. You're a pretty inspirational guy.
God bless America. Good night, losers.